Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 7 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, October the 12th, and it's time for a special Pledge Drive edition of the Friday Week in Review. We are broadcasting right now from Buck Studio, otherwise known as Pledge Central. We're surrounded by phone banks and volunteers who will be answering your calls as you call in to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. The number to call to make a contribution is 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Or you can pledge online at wpr.org. You can pledge any amount, and we will, this hour, send you a list of the favorite websites and blogs of our regular Week in Review guests. Some of these websites, blogs are on the right, some on the left, some in the middle. And it's our giveaway to you this hour for a pledge of any amount. You get to decide how much you pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, and your pledge supports the programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. Every pledge goes towards maintaining this service, paying the programming costs. 31% of our operating budget comes from contributions from listeners like you. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org. And if you call in a pledge this hour, you can also give the volunteer a brief comment or question for our Week in Reviewers. I'm kind of springing this on everybody right now, but if you're quick, somebody will get that to me, and we'll read as many of these questions and comments as we can on the air. Maybe you can tell us if you agree more with Ed Garvey or if you agree more with Rick Berg, and we'll read those comments on the air, too. They are our two guests this hour, and they will give us their takes on the major news of the week. And you can also call in our usual call-in numbers to talk on the air as well. But I want to give this number right now, have you remember this number right now, because it's so important during the pledge drive to hear from you, your contributions, 1-800-383-9772. So let me welcome our guests who are also here in Pledge Central. On my right is Rick Berg. He's a former appointee of the Thompson administration, a freelance writer and contributing columnist, and a board member of Wisconsin Common Cause. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And then Ed is kind of on my left.
But he's on my right.
No, it doesn't work out. Ed Garvey is the a senior partner in the law firm of Garvey McNeil and McGilvery, and he is editor and publisher of FightingBob.com. Good morning.
And my usual pledge of $100 if Rick Berg says anything sensible.
You might have to really pony up today.
Get the wallet out.
Get the wallet out. Terrible.
You know, I see FightingBob.com is on our lists of favorite web sites and blogs.
I'd be surprised.
I would hope so.
He submitted it 100 times.
I know. No, but I'm not reading it. I need my bifocals right now to see this. But well, Common Cause ought to be on here too. We can always put it on here.
Well, I don't know. If it isn't there, it should be there.
Okay, it should be there.
Because we do have a blog.
Yeah, what else? Did you suggest anything else, Rick, that you thought was good on this
well,
list?
Well, I am not a big blogger, so I didn't contribute a lot to the list, I'm afraid.
All right.
I get my news in a variety of ways, but not so much through blogs.
Yeah, what about you, Ed?
Well, I go to the National Priorities Project, the cost of war, so I can see what's going on in terms of the cost of the Iraqi war. And I get to Wisconsin Democracy Campaign quite often. And occasionally Wisp Politics, but always check out the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to see what's happening, in part because whatever their headlines are, the radio people tend to just pick those as important stories. So as I'm writing my blogs, it's kind of nice to know that I'm writing against the flow.
We will be offering this list of blogs, including Ed's favorites and others of other Week in Review regulars. A lot of our Week in Review regulars contributed favorite websites or blogs to this list, and we have a number of them on the left, on the right, and right down the middle. We try to offer you many different perspectives on this program, and this list is what we call a freemium, or just a giveaway, free to any of you who make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, any amount. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org. Pledge because you appreciate the many different viewpoints you hear. Pledge because You love hearing from guests like Ed Garvey and Rick Berg. Pledge because the Friday Week in Review might be one of your favorite programs. You tell us that. I know it's one of mine. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. We have a goal, gentlemen, to raise this hour of $9,000. That's a pretty big goal.
Well, Rick, if you would just pay that $9,000, we can have a good conversation for the rest of the half hour.
I think you're in a better position, Ed, to write that check than I am. I'll let you decide.
We, I'm sure, with your help, dear listener, can reach that $9,000 goal. It's important to reach these hourly goals because they are they're made to come up with the amount of money we need to raise from listener contributions by the end of the pledge drive. Each hour we have a goal, and the entire drive has a goal, and eventually it pays for 31% of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. You are a very important part of the funding mix here at Wisconsin Public Radio. In fact, the most important part of the funding mix. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. And I'm going to remind you throughout the hour that that we're taking your contributions. But let's get to some of the issues of the week and start talking about the issues of the week, Rick and Ed. And since we're talking about money and budgets, I think I have an easy transition into the state budget, the long-delayed state budget. And this week, Governor Doyle announced that he was going to call the legislature into special session if a budget wasn't completed by today. And guess what? A budget will not be completed by today.
We were really coming to the point where this was truth time. I mean, you really had to say, okay, I'm willing to make a deal. And the way they ran and hid from that, I think probably these leaders are not willing to make a deal. I think they're under too much right-wing pressure. And I think that's why I hope by the call for the special session, we're going to see other legislative voices emerge in this.
What do you think of that, Rick Berg? You're kind of shaking your head.
Well, the budget has become a profound embarrassment for the state of Wisconsin, and I suppose in the end someone's going to prevail in this fight, but I can guarantee you that no one's going to come out looking very good. There's blame to be laid at all sides, but in particular, I think as it pertains to the governor and his comments, if you recall, I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the governor called Hipsch and Robeson to the mansion because he wanted to sit down and try to hammer out a compromise. Well, after he did that, he proceeded then to take off for, you know, Hipsch and Robeson, came out to the mansion, and they sat down, and I presume were negotiating in good faith. Well, the governor promptly takes off for Milwaukee and starts bashing Republicans on the budget. Then he goes to D.C. for a couple of days. I think it would have been more impressive and I think more effective if the governor had actually sat down with Hipsch and Robeson at the table and tried to hammer out a compromise. I think there was an opportunity then to try to strike a deal if the governor had been, in my opinion, more aggressively engaged in the process. But he wasn't. And so now he's coming in and threatening to call this special session for next week, which I presume he will. I just don't know if it's going to have any real positive effect on the process, which just drags on and on and on and on.
Ed?
I learned about collective bargaining from Nate Feinsinger at the UW Law School, and Nate always said you can't make a deal if one side refuses to bargain. And what we have here is an ideological core in the Republican side that's following the Bradley Foundation line, and that is really to choke off public government, every program they can. I mean, they're pushing privatization of the UW-Madison campus. They're pushing to eliminate all funding for public radio and public television. They're pushing really not to fund our prisons, and what you'll see soon is a proposal to privatize some of our prisons because we can't afford to have them at the current cost. So we have the Republicans in the Assembly who are simply following the line of the Bradley Foundation and WMC and refusing to bargain. So Doyle can't do much about it.
Yeah, but you have to concede, I think, Ed, that even in the Democrats' version of this budget, in the budget that Doyle submitted to the legislature and in the Senate Democrats' version, there were billions and billions of dollars in new spending and tax hikes and fees. And that, too, was just about as outrageous, I think, as some of the stuff that you mentioned that's coming from the right. But if I can just finish, the problem is that you've got extremes in both parties, not just the Republican Party that are pushing these both of these sides further and further and further apart and making compromise and agreement more difficult. But it's not just a problem with the Republican Party.
That answer saved me $100. the simple fact is, when you're talking about children's health, when you're talking about the fact the university can't function without knowing what the budget is going to call for, this is an extreme. I mean, the budget that was put forward by Doyle is hardly an extreme document. It's trying to provide health care for everyone, and it's trying to provide for decent levels of tuition and other programs. So what I would suggest is let's put it to a vote of the people or bring in an arbitrator. Let someone in the middle decide which one and live with it.
But I would argue that, Ed, just on the issue of health care and children, the governor, I think, had some good ideas in his budget that he sent to the legislature on what to do about health care for children and families. I think there were some good things in there. But then the Senate Democrats took that and turned it into a $15 billion
But they've given
takeover.
That up.
I know. I'm saying, Ed, that in the process of putting that on the table, they certainly threw the whole budget process off track. That was one of the major stumbling blocks. And they did eventually take it off the table, but I think they took it off the table too late. And it's complicated reaching an agreement on this budget. So all I'm saying is that you've got members of both parties that are doing things now to the extreme.
Nonsense.
True.
Well, we have a budget after next week. Will the legislature pass some sort of compromise budget?
I don't think there's going to be a budget because it's part of the game plan of the Bradley Foundation to not have a budget, because then you reduce the appropriations to the university, thus making the argument that we could privatize it more appealing. They want to cut out all sorts of other programs. And so I think this is the most irresponsible moment in perhaps Wisconsin history, where you have an ideological group in the assembly refusing to bargain or refusing to compromise.
Well, I would agree with that in the sense that it may be the most irresponsible moment, but I would disagree.
$100
There you go. See, I just cost you $100 on that one. But I would disagree in the sense that I don't think that Mike Hipsch and most members of the Republican majority in the assembly are tools of the Bradley Foundation. I think Mike is a very intelligent, sincere guy who truly wants to reach a budget agreement. And I think he's trying to get some concessions from the Senate Democrats and Doyle to do that. But I don't think Mike is an ideologue, and I don't think he wants to wreck government.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How could it be for the first time in the history of this state we don't have a budget, that we're the only state in the union that does not have a budget, and that it's all focused on the Assembly Republicans? I mean, would you agree that we should bring in someone like Howard Bellman to be a mediator to see if we could let the public decide who's right and who's wrong?
Well, frankly, you know, the idea of mediation is not a bad idea. I mean, I suggested to some other friends of mine that mediation might be called for. I don't know about Howard Bellman, but I suggested.
How about me?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, there's people like Tony Earle and Ben Brancel out there who, you know, good people that are respected by both sides of the aisle, that I think might have been able at some point to come in and hammer out a negotiated settlement here on the budget, and maybe that's what it would have taken 2 or 3 weeks ago to get this done. I just don't know if that would be effective now, but it's not a wacky idea. So maybe I should pay you money.
All right.
I guess I have to pay money to WHO. Because that wasn't as wacky as Ed's ideas usually are.
Well, speaking of maybe wacky ideas, maybe not. What do you think of these ideas to throw lawmakers in jail or at least arrest them or docking pay if this ever happens again in terms of a budget being this delayed?
We had a better one published on FightingBob.com by Chris Wren, who said if there's no budget 6 weeks later, you take half the assembly districts and half the Senate districts and have a new election, and the only person in the state that could not run would be the incumbent. then you try again, and if they can't do it, get the other half. Yeah, but somehow we've got to punish these people. They're going to work every day getting $88 just to show up, right, and they do nothing except collect money from the lobbyists.
I think in the end you're going to have some new incentives to get this done on time. I don't know what those might be. And I don't think we're going to ever see the day, at least I hope we're not going to see the day, when legislators are arrested. But docking pay for legislators, docking pay for their staff members, turning the air conditioning off in the Capitol in order to force an agreement, whatever it takes, I think is whatever we need to do. But my hope is that Wisconsin will never again go through a budget process like we've gone through this year. I mean, this is setting a new low standard for the state of Wisconsin.
How about just a part-time legislature again and cut the pay in half? And let's get regular citizens back in the legislature instead of these professional politicians who never have to live with the results of what they pass.
I don't think that's such a bad idea. See, and again, Ed's going to cost me money here now. I mean, I thought I was supposed to be costing you money, Ed, but suddenly you're costing me money.
I'm the reasonable man.
We are reviewing the news of the week with our two guests, Ed Garvey and Rick Berg. You can join us on air by calling 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 if you're in Madison. We are broadcasting live from what we call Pledge Central, otherwise known as the Philo Buck Studio in Vilas Hall on the UW-Madison campus. We are here because this is a special Pledge Drive edition of the Week in Review. We have volunteers here who are arriving as we speak to answer phones. We will hear your phone call as you call in your pledge. We will also ask volunteers if they want to ask a question. You can pass along a question or comment when you call in your pledge as well. Let me give you that pledge number, 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Working toward a $9,000 goal this hour, and very happy to report we have raised $2,600 so far, so that's a really good start. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Week in Review.
Must be all the sensible things I said.
On the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are reviewing the news of the week with Ed Garvey and Rick Berg, and with you if you would like to join in. We have talked about the state budget stalemate and Governor Doyle's call for a special session for next week. Another big, shocking and tragic news event in the news this week happened in Crandon, Wisconsin, where a 20-year-old Forest County Sheriff's Deputy and part-time Crandon police officer shot and killed six people in the home of his ex-girlfriend.
This occurred as a shock to us, just as much as it was to anyone else. But I want you to know that it is so important to realize once we realized he was our suspect, we treated him, he was no longer a cop, he was treated as a fugitive, just like anyone else.
That was Crandon's police chief. Now a state lawmaker this week is proposing a law to require that all law enforcement candidates in the state of Wisconsin must go through some sort of psychological testing. Apparently that's not required in Wisconsin. Ed Garvey, is that a good idea?
Well, I think it probably is, but what I would think is that before the legislators jump to the conclusion that they have the answer, we'd actually call together people from the law school and law enforcement and sit down and say, how do we deal with these potential problems? There's always a legislative response to everything. If it rains too much, there'll be a bill put in that we should do something to limit the rain. So, I mean, this is a tragedy, and it's one that I think we should look at soberly and bring in the best minds that we have in the state and say, how do we make sure that this is not repeated again? And then, of course, you can't ever make sure that it'll never happen again.
Yeah, Rick?
Yeah, well, I think Ed got it just about right. I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to doing additional or new psychological testing on law enforcement personnel in the state of Wisconsin, and we need to be cautious about pursuing that, and if we do, what form that will take. But at the same time, as Ed suggested, even no matter what type of tests you administer to these people, there's no absolute guarantee that someone might not pass a test and might snap at some point and do what this young man did, which was very sad and tragic. A screening device might be helpful, but there really are no guarantees in this life. And these things happen, and as sad as they are, and as much as we'd like to keep them from happening, I think our ability to ensure and give 100% guarantee that this will never happen again is remote.
Let's take a call from Libby in Madison. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning. I wanted to add another dimension to this conversation. Aside from the fact that he was a police officer, one of the other elements in this story is that he was there to visit his ex-girlfriend. Now, I don't know what their relationship was like, but I wanted to draw to people's attention the fact that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and that it's not uncommon for relationships that are ending to have violence like this happen. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to raise that as a point for discussion or possibly to consider.
I think it's a good point, and the fact is that our society is so violent you have to start asking the questions. Is it because of the violence we see on television? I mean, every movie that I see advertised on television is violence, violence, violence. And we have sort of a culture of violence, so I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, well, it isn't. It isn't just the movies. I mean, it's the video games that kids
right.
play, which are extremely violent. You know, we are a culture that I think has become desensitized to violence, and it's become so everyday in our life that I don't think it has the impact that it once has. Of course, events like this shock all of us, and they're very sad. But it is troubling in terms of what's going on in the culture and how violence has become so commonplace that I think for a lot of people it's become difficult to distinguish between real violence and imitation or fake violence, the kind that you see in these games.
And it happens to be a gender problem. I mean, if you look at the people who are in prison, most of them are there because of a violent crime when it comes to men. Women, it's a check fraud or something,
right.
some economic crime. So somehow we are inculcating into the young minds of young boys the idea that violence is an answer to our problems, and it's not.
We're going to move on to some other issues, take a question from one of our volunteers here in Pledge Central, and more of your phone calls as well. But let me remind you that we are working toward a $9,000 goal this hour of our pledge drive. Have raised so far $2,670 toward that goal, and we need to hear from you. We want to make this $9,000 goal. You can call 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or WPR.org. Pledge any amount, and we will send you this special list of the Week in Review web and blog favorites. We asked all of our regular guests who appear on the Week in Review to submit some of their favorite websites or blog sites, and we have a big, long list of them, dozens of them, some on the left, some on the right, and some in the center. We will send this to you for a pledge of any amount. Average pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio is about $120 a year. That's $10 a month. And at that level, at $10 a month or more, you also are entitled to the member benefit card, which is a nice little card that you can present at the participating restaurants and get two-for-one entrees, at the participating cultural attractions for two-for-one admissions, and new this year, two-for-one, two nights for the price of one at a number of bed and breakfast. So a nice benefit for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, and we do indeed need your support. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. And if you call right now, we'll hear the phone ring right here in Pledge Central. If you want to pass along a comment when you call in your pledge, we will raise that on the air if we have time. So tell the volunteer and they'll get that to me. Right now we have one of our volunteers here in Buck Studio who has a question for both Ed Garvey and Rick Berg. It's Sybil and Madison. Good morning.
Good morning. What do you think will be the impact of Al Gore's winning the Nobel Peace Prize on efforts to address global warming?
Well, I'll tell you, when we went to see An Inconvenient Truth, I walked out of that theater saying this is going to have a major impact on this country. Of course, I underestimated the impact it would have. But I think the inconvenient truth for Hillary Clinton and for the candidates running for president is if Al Gore decides to get into the race, I think he'll be the leader right from the get-go. So he can bring, whether he runs or not, I think he can bring a seriousness to this presidential race that will be very important. So I think it's very exciting.
There's a big ad in the New York Times this week to draft Al Gore. You think he's going to reconsider?
Well, you know, why not? I mean, the fact is it's not what he wants, it's what the country needs, and I think the country needs someone who has staked out a position that really depends on the future of our planet and who's good on just about every other issue. So I hope he does run, and, you know, maybe he doesn't win, but so what? I mean, I think he'll raise the issues that have to be raised and are now not being addressed.
Mm-hmm. Rick, what do you think of Al Gore? In case listeners didn't hear, Al Gore says he's deeply honored to be named co-recipient of this year's Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, you know, the debate on the science regarding global warming is still an open debate. There are scientists on both sides of that issue, and Al Gore put forth one perspective on global warming and what's causing it in his film, An Inconvenient Truth. But the debate still rages within the scientific community.
It's a very small segment of that community.
No, it's pretty conclusive. There's global warming, but the Earth has cooled and warmed in cycles over eons without any influence from mankind. So the question is, to what extent is mankind influencing the warming that's going on right now? And I think that is very, very much an open question. And in fact, you know, there was a British court, I think, last week that ruled that Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth, should be regarded as propaganda. And there were 11 instances, I think, in the film where they felt that if it was shown in schools, these needed to be pointed out and labeled as propaganda. So it's not unanimous applause, but I mean it's a nice accolade for Al Gore. You got to give the guy credit.
Is Charlie Sykes on a worldwide tour or something?
No, but I mean you got to give the guy credit for what he's pushing a point of view. I don't agree with it myself. I know a lot of people do. I don't. But at some point you just sort of have to stand back and politely applaud.
Al Gore says he'll donate his share of the $1.5 million award that goes with the prize to a nonprofit alliance devoted to spreading the message about the urgency of the climate crisis.
Including FightingBob.com or Fighting Bob Fest.
Well, and some of that should go to WHA Radio, shouldn't it? I mean, where's Al Gore's check for the pledge week?
That's right.
Well, you never know.
Come on,
he can
share the wealth with Wisconsin
right.
Public Radio.
Anyone can share the wealth with Wisconsin Public Radio by calling 1-800-383-9772. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported radio. Your contributions help pay for what you're listening to right now. But don't hold that against us. 1-800-383-9772.
We can't help ourselves.
Rick, get off the stage.
Now, we have a little bit of a shortened time here because we are spending a little bit of time asking for these very important contributions. So I'm going to move on quickly to another issue. It's political in nature, too. We had Fred Thompson appearing for the first time on stage with all of the other Republican candidates in a debate this week in Dearborn, Michigan.
Senator Thompson, this was your first debate. How did it feel?
Just like home. I didn't say which kind of home.
Do you regret waiting so long?
No, I don't think I waited too long. It seems about right to me. I've enjoyed watching these fellas. I got to admit, it was getting a little boring without me, but I'm glad to be here now.
Our thanks to the audience today. Our thanks to the candidates. Samuel, thank you very much.
All right, so Fred Thompson having a little bit of fun there at the end, saying everything was boring until he showed up. How do you do, Ed Garvey?
I thought it was pathetic, but I think after his tour of the Soviet Union, he'll probably have a different perspective. I mean, all is buildup and really nothing to show for it. So, I mean, I don't think that any of the other candidates are in danger at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Rick?
Well, I watched the debate from Dearborn, and frankly, I've been sort of underwhelmed by Fred Thompson since he got into the race, and I didn't see anything in his debate performance this week that changed that assessment. I mean, he's charming in a Southern folksy way. He's got that down-home humor about him. But there was nothing in what he said that, in my mind, thrust him to the front of the pack. I thought Romney did well. I thought Giuliani did well. I thought Huckabee did well. You've got a few people on that stage that need to get off that stage, that aren't going anywhere, that add nothing to the debate. But Fred Thompson is in that sort of upper echelon group of people. And Fred belongs there. He should be there. But if he's going to become the nominee or if he's going to be regarded as the front runner, he's got to earn that. And I saw nothing from him this week that would lead me to believe that he's earned it. But time will tell.
Yeah. Who do you think, as pathetic as you think it was, Ed, who do you think did the best job?
Well, you know, I guess I'm too biased to even cut through that. But I do think that the guy that I worry about the most is Huckabee, because he's sort of approachable and has that self-deprecatory humor and is
that's something to fear.
Well, it is, but I think he's a fairly attractive candidate.
I think Huckabee is everyone's choice for vice president. I don't think you're going to see Mike Huckabee as
Ron
the nominee.
Paul.
Well, no, not
the
Ron
Al Gore,
Paul.
Ron Paul ticket.
No, it's not going to happen either. No. But I think Huckabee is frankly everybody's choice for VP, and I think he'd be a great vice presidential candidate.
Was it a former counsel, White House advisor, White House counsel, Dan Bartlett?
Bartlett, right.
Yeah, yeah, he was in the news this week, too, yeah, though, saying that Huckabee didn't stand a chance because he had a hick last name.
Well, Bartlett sort of fried most of the field, as best I can tell. I don't know. I mean, if you heard or saw any of Bartlett's comments, I mean, he went up and down the line and sort of fried them all.
Yeah, too dumb.
He didn't focus on Huckabee alone. But so I don't know quite what Dan Bartlett thought he was doing, but it was probably not terribly helpful to the Republican presidential cause.
One point this morning, listening to your news NPR poll showing that 68% of the American people think we're on the wrong track. I think they're looking for real change, and that's why I think that either Barack Obama or an Al Gore will probably emerge as the candidates for the Democrats.
But Hillary's leading your party right now in terms
of
preference.
Well, thanks to you and the corporate media.
Well, you know, at that debate, Hillary's name was brought up at least a dozen times, so apparently she's the nominee as far as the Republican candidates are concerned.
They sure want her to be, that's for sure.
Well, but I think she is the presumptive nominee. I mean, the polls show it. I mean, she's opened up about a 53-20% lead among national Democrats in terms of preference. And once the Clinton machine gets rolling, it's hard to stop. So it's probably fair to assume that she is the presumptive nominee of the party.
There hasn't been a vote cast yet.
I understand.
We're months
that.
Away from Iowa and New Hampshire. And a lot can change, including this lunacy of perhaps bombing Iran that your party is pushing and that Hillary Clinton won't take off the table.
Well, Hillary supported that resolution on Iran in the Senate when that came up. So, I mean, you know, I long for the old days too, Ed, you know, when you could get in and you know, the primaries unfolded and people slugged it out in the primaries and there were real debates and votes were cast. But I'm just reflecting now what is the conventional wisdom, and that is that the mainstream media sort of sets the expectations, and the chase for money sets the expectations. And if you look at those two things, Hillary is going to be the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. And she seems to regard the voting as just a mere formality.
If she is, I will support her, but I don't think she will be.
Well, I hope you're right.
We have another question from one of our volunteers here in Buck Studio, Sandra in Madison. Good morning.
Good morning. I understand that there is great conflict between the branches of the military at this point with the war that's going on. I have heard that the Marines are actually saying that they don't want to fight in Iraq at all, and they would prefer to be in Afghanistan and leave Iraq to the Army. I wonder what your thoughts on that are.
Well, I think the Marines join with the Iraqis and virtually everyone else saying that we should get out of Iraq. But also, according to Cy Hirsch, the Air Force is not very enthusiastic about the campaign against Iran, given the tremendous impact that could have on oil prices and all the rest of it, and the inability to follow through on it. So I think what you have is sort of chaos as this war gets worse and worse day by day. The surge becomes a farce. The idea that we can do something about a civil war is ridiculous. And if I were the head of the Marines, I would try to get our people out of there as well.
Well, I don't, you know, it's interesting. I happened to be watching ABC News yesterday, and they had a report on with General Petraeus, and he was visiting some of the neighborhoods or some of the communities outside of Baghdad, but not too far from Baghdad. And he was interacting with a lot of the locals. And it was an interesting report in the sense that for the first time in a long time, the ABC talked about the fact that the incidents of violence are way down, that there's more stability, that the people seem to be warming to the notion that this is their problem, they need to solve it, and they're stepping up to the plate and all of this. So it was interesting because the mainstream media typically doesn't reflect that point of view, but if they are reflecting that now in their reporting, what that says to me is that something is working over there on the ground, and I don't think that the surge is a failure. I think the surge is succeeding. In terms of the various branches of the military, I'm sure they're all anxious to get out of Iraq, but my guess is that when it's all said and done, the vast majority of them will say, we'll get out of Iraq when our job is done and we've stabilized the country and they can take care of the problems on the ground.
Get out your checkbook.
But I think things are turning around and turning around in a positive way. I really
do. For Blackwater, for example.
Well, Blackwater is a different case.
Well, sure
well, let's
is.
Talk a little bit about Blackwater. The State Department, apparently, according to the Associated Press, says it may phase out or limit the use of private security guards in Iraq. It could mean that the State Department may cancel the contract for Blackwater USA or award it to another firm. What do you think?
Well, the fact is that Jeremy Scahill's book Blackwater, I think, led to the exposure of the fact that we have more mercenaries in Iraq than we have U.S. soldiers. And they're under no one's law, as far as we can tell. So if we could, the Iraqi government is demanding that the United States get rid of Blackwater and try them for their crimes, and there are lawsuits being filed. So I think that even the word has finally gotten to Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, I would agree with that in the sense that I think it's probably bad to have a strong private security force presence on the ground in Iraq. At the same time, Blackwater has done the job in the sense of protecting those people that they were assigned to protect, and no harm has come to any of those individuals. But there has to be some level of accountability, I think, for what goes on the ground. You have that in the military structure. There is accountability in the military structure. In these private security firms, there's less of it, or in the worst-case scenario, there's none of it.
I'll give you $10 for that one.
Thanks.
You know,
and so I have a problem with that.
I'm going to take our scheduled break now, and I'm going to keep Ed Garvey and Rick Berg with us for a few more minutes to talk about a couple of other issues in the news and to talk with you if you want to talk with them about the news of the week. You can also call in your pledge. Phones have quieted down a little bit here in Pledge Central because I haven't reminded you that we need to hear from you to pay the bills at Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Use that number to call in a pledge of any amount. You decide how much to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. You might consider the $10 a month level or more. The $120 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio is about the average pledge. It entitles you to the member benefit card, and during this hour and this hour only, actually we'll do it next week for the Week in Review as well, but it is our special Week in Review web and blog favorites, a list of dozens of blogs and websites that our Week in Review regular guests have submitted as some of their favorites that they go to and read up on the issues of the day, some from the left, some from the right, and some from the center. The Week in Review web and blog favorites list. Yours for a pledge of any amount to 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online to WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine along with Ed Garvey and Rick Berg, and this is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, happy to be reviewing the news of the week with Ed Garvey and Rick Berg and with you. And a reminder, we are accepting your pledges this hour. We need your pledges this hour, your contributions to Wisconsin Public Radio. We are working toward a $9,000 goal and have raised just about $3,500. That's a very nice amount. Thank you if you've called in a pledge so far this hour or so far this drive, or if you're a current member of Wisconsin Public Radio. But if not, please make that call now because you appreciate the wide variety of perspectives that you hear on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, that you appreciate the many different issues that we approach every single day, world, national, state of Wisconsin, and because you really appreciate the Week in Review, where you hear from two guests from different perspectives each week, Fridays after 8 o'clock, talking about all the important news of the week. And that's what we're trying to do for you this hour. How much is that worth to you? Pledging is easy. All you have to do is call 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge online, WPR.org. Jimmy Carter was back in the news this week. He's making the rounds talking about another new book, and I think he made these comments with CNN's Wolf Blitzer the other day, talking about torture and saying that the Bush administration was lying when it comes to denying that we torture people.
President Bush said as recently as this week, the United States does not torture detainees.
That's not an accurate statement if you use the international norms of torture as has always been honored, certainly in the last 60 years since the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was promulgated. But you can make your own definition of human rights and say we don't violate them, and you can make your own definition of torture and say we don't violate them.
But from your definition, you believe the United States under this administration has used torture.
I don't think it. I know it.
Do you know that, Rick Berg?
No, I don't know that. I mean, I think we're in a somewhat different situation. I don't know if they were talking about Guantanamo or some of the detainees there, but these are not uniformed combatants that are at Guantanamo. It isn't like an enemy that's put on a uniform, and Geneva Convention rules apply to all of these situations. But, you know, Jimmy Carter, America's favorite failed president, now steps into the breach once more and tries to make a name for himself by leveling accusations against the United States of America. I mean, he should concentrate on building homes. I think that's where he shines, that's where he excels, and that's where he really makes a difference.
Are we losing money, Ed Garvey?
Yes, you just lost a lot. I think Jimmy Carter's our greatest former president. But
well, he's a better ex-president than he was president.
Well, whatever, but he didn't take anybody to war while he was president. The lies from this administration are so infuriating, and really it's almost embarrassing to listen to them. If it weren't for the New York Times, we wouldn't even know about the secret memos from Alberto Gonzalez allowing the CIA to continue the torture that had been announced would no longer be taking place. I mean, for the United States of America to engage in torture is so outrageous that I just can't imagine people still defending it. Wolf Blitzer raised the question with Jimmy Carter. Carter has been all over this world, including recently to Darfur. He knows what torture is all about, and he has said that he knows that the United States is doing it by the definition of international standards. So, it's happening. It's a shame. It's an embarrassment.
One caller who's been waiting, we will go to next, Roberto in Green Bay. Good morning.
Hey, Jay. Hi, Ed. You guys rock. The House vote on the Armenian genocide, Ronald Reagan used the D word, Bill Clinton didn't. Should we lose Turkey as an ally? What do you think, Ed? And you're the man.
You're the man, Ed.
Listen, you're the man, Ed.
The fact is, George Bush promised to call it genocide when he ran for president. He ought to do it now and get over it. I've been to Armenia. I've seen the grave sites and the memorial. It was a genocide, and it should be recognized and dealt with. And, you know, for the Turkey to constantly say, well, if you don't do this, we're going to shut down your base, well, then just do it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think it was genocide, and we need to acknowledge it and use that word.
Yeah. Well, let's, Ed, anything else happen in the news this week that we didn't address in this somewhat abbreviated edition of the Week in Review that you think is worth noting?
I think today? The article of the year appeared in a magazine I didn't even know existed, Vanity Fair, where Bartlett and Steele point out that $9 billion that the United States sent to Iraq in cash is missing. And Alan Greenspan admits that it's missing, but it's not his fault. Now, I don't know how you misplace $9 billion. I mean, sometimes I can't find my checkbook when I'm writing out a check for Rick Berg's comments. But $9 billion, and the media acts as if this is nothing.
Yeah. What about you, Rick? Anything in the news this week that we have?
Yeah. Britney Spears showed up in Los Angeles court yesterday regarding custody of her two kids to make some whatever, and she wasn't wearing underwear again. So
who is Britney Spears?
Well, I think the media focused a lot of attention on that yesterday, so I thought maybe we should spend a few minutes on that here on your show, Joy.
Well, we try to stick to the politics, but
yeah, I figured.
Anyway, we will leave it there. It's a note that we don't cover issues like that. Might be a pledge point. So,
well, I may be violating.
Please send money, otherwise we're going to start talking about those issues at length.
I may be violating some rule, but the fact that some in the legislature want to eliminate public radio and public television should be on everyone's mind as they think about making a pledge.
Well, there is uncertainty. We know that there is uncertainty, and we'll leave it there. Ed, thank you very much for being here, and Rick, thanks a lot.
Thanks,
we really
Joy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joy.
Ed Garvey and Rick Berg are two guests this week for the Friday Week in Review. Both Ed and Rick contributed websites and blog favorites along with all of our other regular Week in Review guests, and we have compiled all of those favorite websites and blog sites on a list with many from the left and many from the right and some in the center that we will send you for a pledge of any amount to Wisconsin Public Radio. You decide how much to pledge and call 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or you can pledge online, WPR.org. Cheryl Gasser, the Assistant Director of Talk Programming, now joins me for the last few minutes of the program. And Cheryl, we're doing very well toward that $9,000 goal, just about halfway there. But as you can see by the clock, only less than 10 minutes to go.
1-800-383-9772 is the number to call. Joy brings you wonderful regulars week after week. You hear from Ann Althaus, Matt Rothschild, Ben Mansky, Jim Miller, and of course, Rick Berg and Ed Garvey this week. And there are so many more who come and give of their time week after week. Here on the Week in Review, it's one of the favorite hours. We hear from people like Ron in Dubuque, who pledged this hour. Says he enjoys Week in Review on Fridays because you enjoy the Week in Review and everything else that Joy brings to you throughout the week. Call in with your pledge now, 800-383-9772.
You know, I said at the beginning that this is the hour that I most look forward to because I'm able to talk with really good guests, really smart guests, people who really watch the political scene, really have something to say, and the different perspectives. It's really refreshing to hear so many different perspectives. And it's not always from, you know, a strict Democrat and a strict Republican. It might be that it's somebody very progressive and somebody moderately right. You know, we try to look for very, very many different perspectives to talk with you about the news of the week. And I love this hour in that I can just bring up an issue and the two guests can go at it and you get to join in too. And we get to hear some really interesting things about the news of the week. How much is that worth to you? Is it worth, say, $10 a month or more? That's a $120 pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, a generous pledge, about the average pledge. It will go a long way toward paying the bills at Wisconsin Public Radio. It will also entitle you to the member benefit card, as well as our special list of Week in Review websites and blog favorites.
And the member card, it will entitle you to two-for-one entrees at over 250 Wisconsin restaurants, two-for-one admission to museums and symphonies, and new this year, two nights for the price of one at many bed and breakfasts around the state of Wisconsin, also in Minnesota and Illinois, the Chicago area. You could pay for your pledge with one night's stay with that member benefit card. 1-800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772. Make that pledge because you really enjoy hearing from guests like Ed Garvey, a longtime guest on Wisconsin Public Radio and one of your favorite regulars on the Week in Review. A lot of you have also said that you really enjoy hearing Rick Berg's perspectives. Now, Rick is a fairly new guest to Wisconsin Public Radio, but we look for guests all over the state of Wisconsin for the Week in Review and for our other programs all over the world, for that matter. We have producers that Leo Duran and Karen Prager and Carmen Jackson, who look for the very best guests to talk to you about the issues that matter to you most. And this kind of quality costs money. And that's why we're asking you right now to help contribute. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. And Cheryl, I'm going to get a little bit urgent here because we are still not quite halfway toward that $9,000 goal and only 5 minutes left in the program.
Because the Week in Review is one of your favorite hours of the day, call in your pledge now. I'm sure you listen throughout the week to Joy and Kathleen and Larry and Jean and Ben, and you listen on the weekends. Maybe you listen to Prairie Home, Enjoy the People's Pharmacy. Your pledge goes to support all of those programs, but we really want to hear from you this hour, because Joy and I want to do our part to raise that $9,000 to help reach our overall goal. Pledging is so simple. It's so easy. It takes just a few minutes, and we want to hear from you now. WPR.org or 800-383-9772.
Yeah, your vote this hour in a part is also a vote for this kind of political programming that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. We do try to cover politics in depth, and sometimes you hear from the state lawmaker who's proposing a bill, or sometimes you hear from the political scientist who is maybe analyzing the presidential campaign. And after all, we are in the middle of a presidential campaign season. We are your place to be to hear about all of the candidates and all of the issues in the race. Is that important to you? Sure it is. 1-800-383-9772 to support this kind of programming, political programming. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online, WPR.org.
Enjoy covers politics like no one else. In any given week, you're going to have the State Capitol Report on Mondays, the Week in Review, of course, Fridays at 8, and you'll hear from your representatives on a wide variety of issues. Election season, of course, coming up, as Joy mentioned. And we keep you informed. We help to educate you. Make up your mind who to vote for and what the issues are that matter to you. We bring you a variety of perspectives on that. It's worth a pledge of support. If you're already a member, thank you so much. But if not, now's the time to call. 800-383-9772. We just broke through the halfway mark, but a goal of $9,000 to raise this hour. We want to hear from you.
We can divide your pledge up and send you monthly installment notices if you would like to do that. You can pay monthly. You can pay all at once on a credit card or a debit card. You can also arrange to have your contribution withdrawn from your checking account through EFT. We will make it as easy as possible for you to pay for your pledge, but do make that call and decide to support this service with a financial contribution of any amount. And any pledge, any amount, this hour gets the Week in Review web and blog favorites list, a list of dozens of different websites and blog sites that were contributed by our Week in Review regulars.
They were, and it's amazing. I thought that I wouldn't be surprised with much of anything, but there are great lists on there, great resources. 800-383-9772 is the number to call.
Thanks very much, Cheryl, for being here. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager and Cheryl Gasser for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.